of kings and the Lord of lords. But he's patient. He's more patient than we are. Look, the saints were in heaven and they were under the altar and they wanted him to move right then. Sometimes that's the way we are. We want God move right now. Even now, Lord. Oh, Lord, now Jesus. We want God to move right now. But God said, I have patience and long suffering. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As far as the heaven is from the earth, is my ways from yours. So we don't understand how God's going to do it and when he's going to do it. But we need to act like he's about to do it. Just like those saints. They were in heaven and saying, God, do it now. But God said, I want to get them saved. And he left 144,000 Jews, people who were Israel, of Israel. He left them to evangelize the world, and through their evangelism, there is a number that cannot, a multitude that cannot be numbered, that's going to be saved, but they won't last very long, because when they get saved, they're going to die. And notice what he said. He said that they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And so I don't understand, because I'm in this flesh, I don't understand as God does. And I'm saying, God, you ordain or you allow, and you letting them happen, letting this happen. You're allowing them to be killed. And this doesn't seem good. Do you know that in God's will, there's some things that don't seem right to us? But in God's will, it ought to be all well with our soul. Come on and say amen. There are going to be some people killed. And you know what? If you keep having children, some of those people are going to be your children and your children's children. But you need to make sure that they are saved. You need to make sure that there's a Christian in the house to be able to tell them who God is. You need to make sure that somebody knows how to pray. Now, we can't be coming to church and we don't know how to pray. We can't be coming in here. Come on and say amen. Like Sister Nettie said, I ain't going to go to hell from the church. I'm going to learn how to pray. I'm going to learn how to get his word. I'm going to learn how to apply his word. I'm going to live the life that God wants me to live. I may not be perfect, but I'm determined to live the way God wants me to. Do I have anybody in here that say, who shall be able to stand? I'm going to be able to stand because I'm going to stand in the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. They're going to be killed. And it's God's will for them to be killed. Boy, that's hard to understand, isn't it? It's God's will for them to die. But how else can we get to heaven? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lest we die. You can't is flesh. The Bible says flesh and blood glory not. Flesh glory not in the presence of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I don't know what we shall be, but we'll look like him. Notice what God did. He gave them white robes. Who else do the Bible say wear a white robe? It's Jesus Christ. They're dressed like him because they went through just like him. That's why Paul said, I want to know him. He said, all the things that I've achieved ain't nothing but dung, ain't nothing but shubalah, ain't nothing but mess compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering and in the power of his resurrection. Do I have anybody that say, I want to know him? And sometimes getting to know God means you got to suffer sometime. You got to go through some things. Sometime you have to take a loss. Sometime you have to have some things that happen in your life that's unfavorable. But you got to understand that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. God is going to allow us to be glorified. Oh, come on and say amen. Even though we suffer, even though I go through trials and tribulation, God is going to allow me to be glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. God is patient. He's long-suffering. Let's go on. He says in verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, the fifth seal has been done. Now, the fifth seal, we always talk about the number five. It's number of grace. It's grace for those who believe in Jesus Christ. But the sixth seal is the number of man. Number six is the number of man. And here's the sixth seal, and God is about to deal with mankind. That's why he said the number of the Antichrist is 666. When man becomes complete, the number six is man. Three times means completion. When man becomes complete in himself, when he says, I don't need God, he's complete in himself. That is the Antichrist. He does it without God. attempts or says he does. Now he said, I beheld when the sixth opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Look at this here. He's saying that look at the perils that we're going to face. He said, first you're going to face an earthquake. This is the third earthquake that is mentioned. But we got to understand that this earthquake is so bad that it shakes things to the point that the sun looks black as sackcloth. And what does that mean? That means that the sun goes in mourning because of how bad it is. My God, today. That means, look at this. That means that the sun gets so dark and has sackcloth that there will be no warmth on the earth. What warms us up? What keeps us from being like the other cold planets that don't have life? The sun. What causes us to be able to grow, to live? What keeps you from being depressed? If you're depressed, go out and get you some vitamin D. Go out and get in the sun, right? The sun keeps you up when you're feeling down. The sun is what gives the vegetation what it needs to be able to grow. When it gets warm in the spring, your grass and your flowers start to bloom. Stuff you don't want in your yard start to grow. Right? Because of the warmth of the sun. And so we don't have that. When the earthquake hits, we don't have the warmth of the sun. No vegetation. And if there's no vegetation, you can't feed the animals. There ain't no steaks. Ain't no horses, no cows. Ain't no chickens. Ain't no vegetation. Ain't no animals. There's a great famine that's going to hit the land. Lord, help me today. I'm trying to warn you, trying to get you to see where we are, trying to get you to see what's happening. Amen. Well, if we don't get it together, who shall be able to stand this? The sun becomes dark as sackcloth. No warmth, no growth, no vegetation, no food. And look at this. He says that the moon becomes as blood. Amen. The moon becomes as blood. The moon drips as blood or becomes as blood, becomes, as they call it, a blood moon, a red moon. It looks as the color of blood. Now, what I don't understand is that the only way the moon gets any light is because of the sun. The only thing the moon reflects is the light of the sun. And so the moon turns to blood. That means that it's going to be something so bad happen that it seems as though there's going to be something that covers the moon and it appear to be blood. That's bad. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth. Do you know what that means? That means there'll be no light. There be no navigation. What am I saying? I'm saying that you can't find your way. You can't see your way, and it'll be too late. You won't be able to see your way. You won't be able to see the light. You won't be hollering, this little light of mine. You won't have no light. There's no revelation. There's no inspiration. There's none of that. There's no manifestation. Who shall be able to stand the perils? The stars fell as a fig tree casted her untimely figs as she is shaken by a mighty wind. In other words, the stars are put out of their sockets. Hallelujah. And then the heavens depart as a scroll when it is rolled together. Then you won't even be able to see the sky. It's just darkness. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to help somebody here. We don't have time to waste, children. We don't have time to waste. We patty caking with the devil. We think that this life is a playground. It is a battleground. And we have to fight. We have to hold up the bloodstained banner as hard as those who are holding up the Confederate flag. They ready to fight for their flag. Are you ready to fight for yours? The bloodstained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ? My Lord, today. And the heavens departed as a scroll rolled up together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Woo. In other words, everything was shook up. There was no stability in the earth. Nothing stable. There's no security in the earth. You know what a security is? The security is for those who die in the Lord. That's what security is. I wish I had somebody. And look at this. The kings of the earth. I'm almost done. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, and they hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. And why didn't they hide in houses? Because their houses were destroyed. They went to a rock, but they went to the wrong rock. They should have went to the rock of ages, the rock that's higher than I am. But you know what? They can't, because the Bible says that the enemy will blind the minds of them that are in this world. that they cannot believe in the Lord. And not only that, God will send strong delusions and won't even allow them to believe because they denied the only begotten of the Father. Don't deny him in your actions. Don't deny him in your words. Don't be playing around with these other false religions that cause you to denounce Jesus. And that's including hip-hop children. That's a religion. They don't believe in your religion. They say that if you get rid of the three Abraham.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
He's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. Johnny Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Anybody thank the Lord today? Praise his holy name. Get on your feet and turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for this word that you have for us this day. Bless your people. Open the ears of their understanding. Give to them these principles that they may practice and profit from. Giving you all praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. May the Lord bless his word and those who hear his word. This word we have before us today brings both caution and clarity to the issue of friendship. It warns that too many friends a ruin to the life of the person who is a true friend. There are some principles in this word that I want to share with you today that I hope you'll hear, because it can mean the difference in you picking the right friends or the wrong friends. For just a little while, I want to ask you the question, what kind of friends do you have? What kind of friends do you have? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, what kind of friends do you have? And if you ain't got a neighbor you want to, talk to yourself and say, self, what kind of friends do I have? And it's a question I pray you ponder in your heart, because there are some serious consequences to having the wrong folk around you. First of all, there is revealed in this verse a universal principle. It is profitable wherever, whenever, and with whomever practices it. It is a universal principle, because this word shares with us there are some things that we must be clear about when we attempt to have friends. The Bible says, a man that hath friends, plural. So the first thing about this principle is we learn responsibility. Responsibility. A man that hath friends must show. Must show means that we must be responsible for the friends we make. Everybody is not your friend. There are some companions. There are some acquaintances. Yeah, there are some homeboys, and they are my whatever you want to refer to, but they aren't all friends. And you've got to be clear about what a friend is by understanding what you must be. So you must be responsible, because the word says a man that hath friends must show. Must show. You're responsible for showing the very reality of that you enjoy in friendship. See, a whole lot of folk want friends, but they want them for the wrong reasons. See, friendship is a mutual relationship. It's a give and take. If you got a friend who's always taking and you're always giving, that ain't a friendship. You got to understand a responsibility is on both parts. And so you need to be clear about this when you talk about having a friend. It says not only must that person be responsible, but they must also be responsive. Because it says show himself. And I'm going to say to you, my brothers and sisters, that you say more about yourself in how you respond to the need of a friend than it says about a friend. In other words, when you show yourself, it shows what's in your heart. It shows what's in your mind. It shows what you are capable and desire to do by your responses in a situation or crisis of a friend. If you're a real friend, they ought not have to ask you to do what they have already done for you. If somebody needs help and it's a friend, they shouldn't have to beg you for help, especially when you stepped up to the call without them even asking. A real friend is a friend not just when it's convenient, not just what time of day it may be that's preferable for them, but a real friend is a friend no matter what time of day or night that friend is needed. You can be just getting comfortable in your bed, and a friend calls, I've broken down. A friend called, listen, I've got trouble. Friend called, listen, this thing has happened. And you will respond in such a way that they'll have no doubt this is a true friend. So you must be responsible. You must be responsive. But here's something else as I continue to study this word that blew my mind, because the word says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Friendly. And so, you know, when we first hear this and we think of this just surfacely, so it says pretty much if you got some friends, then you need to be friendly as well. Or some frame of thought, school of thought says you've got to first be a friend to have friends. And so we have all of these, and all of these are not incorrect, but it's not the correct interpretation of the scripture. See, when it says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, it takes into account both relationship and resources, which means that you need to be careful in who you decide you're going to be friends with. Because if you are a friend to a person that you cannot with the same resources help or respond, then that means you are not responsible enough to respond in like manner, thus not being an appropriate friend. In other words, if you're going to be a friend, you need to count up the cost. You need to make sure that you can be the kind of friend that you want someone to be to you. Now, here's what the BBE translation says, paraphrase. A man that has many friends will come to ruin. The ASV translation says a man or a person who has many companions will come to destruction. So what it's literally saying is you need to be careful not only to pick your friends, but to limit your friends. I don't think you heard me. You hear that person that said, everybody they meet is my friend. That's my friend. That's my friend. No, that's inaccurate. That is not the case. See, because here's what's true. You will discover that in a decision to choose friends, it doesn't release you from your responsibility or responsiveness to that friend. Let me give you a good case in point. Jesus was a friend not only to sinners, but to those he embraced. Of those 12 he embraced intimately, one, Judas, betrayed him. And Judas went out and negotiated to have Jesus taken. And Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had just finished praying because he knew this hour was coming. And here come Judas with a mob behind him. And Judas says, whichever one I kiss, that's the one. Hold him fast. But when he gets to Jesus, Jesus says, friend. Now here's what's clear. What he was saying was, I have been a friend to you, and you have not been a friend to me. But just because you've not been a friend to me doesn't release me from continuing to be a friend to you. And that's the only reason you ain't dead. I wish I had a helper in the house. Listen at this. So it's clear that too many friends can ruin you if you hold true to being the kind of friend you are supposed to be. And then it moves on. Not only is there a universal principle, but secondly, there is a unique personality. Because the record says, and there is a friend. And there is a friend. It's talking about singular and supreme. First of all, is a friend is singular. But this friend is supreme. He is superior. He far surpasses any and all other friends. Here is the school of thought. If you only had one friend, this is the friend to have. And there is a friend. Now look at here, because not only does it talk about singular and supreme in the same principle of the uniqueness of this personality, but it also talks about sticketh and stay. Because it says sticketh closer. And to understand that when it talks about sticketh, it gives off the truth and the insight of a super adhesive. Talking about something stronger than super glue. Talking about clinging, cleaving, continuing. You see, this friend sticketh when all of the others slide away. In the midst of troubles, in the midst of trials. And I want to throw this out parenthetically. You really get to see who your friends are. When crises hit your life. I want to throw out clearly and parenthetically, that even before I went through my challenges, I didn't have but a few friends. And the true friends I have are still friends, but the folk who call themselves friends fell off by the wayside. Listen, trouble will try your friends. All you got to do is have a little trouble, have a little trial, have a little issue, and you'll discover who your real friends are. And so he sticketh. He don't just stick for one trial. But when the next one, he sticketh. And then when another comes, he sticketh. And he just keeps on sticking, and the record is he stays, which means he'll never leave you. He won't forsake you. When it's all said and done, he'll be right by your, we started together, and we're going to finish together. That's the kind of friend he's talking about. The writer of Proverbs, Solomon himself, the wisest man save Jesus that ever lived, gave us this truth. And it's important to understand that you really need to have a friend in your life like this. Young people, listen at me. Hear me when I say choose your friends carefully. Choose your friends carefully, because what you don't understand is just being in the company of the wrong people can get you in trouble. You don't have to do what they do, just be with them. People with the wrong influences can mess up your reputation. Be careful who you choose to be around or to embrace as friends. And what you don't understand is many times you are judged by your friends. Well, I thought this person was a whole lot better than that. But if they got this person for their friend, and don't realize, my brothers and sisters, that there's much that goes into being and having a good friend. When you say I'm a friend, you're saying a mouthful. When you say, that's my friend, I hope that you're saying the very same thing. That you know somebody that is real enough, that is clear enough, that is transparent enough, that you can trust. If you got friends you got doubt about, that ain't your friend. If you got friends you got to question, that ain't your friend. If you got friends you can't turn your back on, that ain't your friend. If you got friends you can't leave in your house when you're not home, that ain't no, y'all ain't talking to me. Y'all got issues this morning? Maybe you thinking about your friends. Maybe you're going down your list. Maybe you're disqualifying folk who said they were your, t- Talk to me, somebody, if you can. And there is a friend, singular and supreme, that sticketh closer. He sticks and stays than a brother. And they're talking about none other than a sweet Savior. Listen at this. What it really says is,